Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Dion DeLauder of Social Ivy Media, who is a sales and marketing expert that has been helping businesses to leverage the power of the internet for over two decades. Today, we're going to be discussing Dion's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Dion.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So to get started, let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So awesome. What would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Great question. Motivation. I'm ambitious. I have goals. I'm driven. And, you know, I have a certain idea of the quality of life that I want to deliver for myself and my family and the future generations. Mm-hmm. And that's really why I do what I do. It's the, you know, financial freedom, ability to control my time while I'm here, and then what happens when I'm gone. So that's all the motivation I need. Every time I see my family, my loved ones, the image in my, I've reached a lot of great goals, and, you know, I still keep putting new goals in front of me, no matter how far it's small steps, right? How to eat an elephant one bite at a time. So set [S2] Yep. [S1] Small goals, reach out, knock them out, and I've gotten to a place where, you know, that's my grind. I wake up, I'm passionate about the people that I'm doing it for, the mm-hmm. destination, and grateful for the achievements that I've made it to. So I just, you know, continue to wake up, be grateful, and be driven around the passion of my goals.
I love that. Yeah, I think it's so important just to have that why, that driving force that's going to help motivate you when times get tough. So that's amazing. And then, so tell us about Social Ivy Media and why you decided to start an agency.
Great question. It's kind of a long answer, but I know we're limited here, so I'll give you the cliff notes. I've had a pretty good career. I started out, you know, way back in the day, you know, 25 some years ago, I had a call center, was good at sales. That kind of grew into some other opportunities. I ended up creating a magazine. We did 250,000 printed magazines every month. Did that 6 years. That was back in the day when print was really heavily relevant. The internet hadn't taken off as much, right?
Yep.
Had a radio show on CBS, television show. Did a lot of things. I was at an event promoter. I started my own mixed martial arts league. did a little bit of everything. I did a lot of stuff. We started a clothing line at one point, you know, just a serial entrepreneur. And, mm-hmm. some of those businesses, two or three of those were going at the same time. And the reason I'm telling you that, not to brag or boast, obviously, but here's how it parlays into the agency space. What I learned doing all those businesses are, you know, you generate money by advertising. Every single one of those. The radio show, we sold advertisement spots, television shows, advertisement, magazine, ad space, the events, you know. People set up their booths, stickers on the cage floor, sponsorships, you know, the guys will shave your logo on their head for the right price, you know?
Right.
And so working with those businesses to when you're dealing with advertisers, you want them to continue to be advertisers. So you want them to be successful. So when they're advertising in whatever, you know, format or media I was in, you know, I was always a thinker. So I started looking at like, hey, when you're on the radio show and you're telling them to go, you know, give us a call here or check us out online. Cause that's really at the end of the day, especially nowadays, right? All roads lead to the website. They lead to your online presence. That's many times the first place that people will, you know, get a feeling for who your business is, what you do, how well you, you know, they start doing their due diligence. You know, the lights are on, is anybody home? There's a whole process to that. But yes. We wanted to make sure that they were getting the maximum return on their investment. So we know the website is a call to action on literally every single form of advertisement. Most people, and you know, sometimes that's the only ad they would want. Just put our website up there. That's all we need, right?
Yeah.
So we started looking at that. And then, you know, we started looking at their website, like, hey, you're going to spend all this money to send them here. This is not really good. And here's why. And this is, so we started looking at a lot of websites, looking at the ones that were doing well, looking at ones that weren't doing well, giving a lot of feedback. And really, without knowing it, we're doing a lot of consulting, you know, for their online presence, just giving them feedback and guidance. And they would go back to their web guys, and I'm sure they hated us because we're like, change this and do that. And this has to be at the front and put that on the top. And that call open button needs to be on the right. And that's, we weren't even in that space. Right. And then, so long story short, you know, I had all that stuff going on. I was in a marriage for about 10 years, had two beautiful children in that marriage and relationship. And then, you know, I had lost balance of, you know, so I was trying to do too much, two kids and all those businesses, and the marriage fell apart. And so when that happened, I took about a year off, literally, where I just laid around and cried like a little baby and wasn't really taking good care of myself and just, you know, putting myself back together. And I had a friend and a mentor, a business mentor who, you know, had much greater success than I had even at that time in my high. Basically came to me and said, hey, dude, I'm sick of seeing you like this. You got to pull it together. I need you to, you know, you got to do something. Mm-hmm. And we're talking, he said, hey, you know what you're really good at? You're really good at this thing right here. He says, that's your play. Because when that happened, I literally shut down everything. I shut down the event. I stopped doing the radio. I quit doing everything.
Wow.
Down, sold my business, sold actually two businesses, and then turned the other one off and just didn't do anything. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't even talk to anybody. It was a mess. I was a mess, you know?
Right.
I guess part of the realization that it was, you know, self-induced, you know, coming to that, you know, so digging deep and realizing that it's hard, but necessary.
Absolutely.
So balance, guys, is the key. Balance. Take anything away from that. Balance.
And, yeah, definitely.
So he said, hey, that's the thing. So I started Social Ivy Media so I could use the knowledge and leverage the, you know, the skill set that I'd been developing, you know, kind of vicariously in the background, you know, by proxy to those other businesses. And it just took off. You know, I had a lot of relationships from all those other businesses, and that's kind of our, you know, we went through all those people and just let them know what we were doing and went from there.
So cool. So yeah, it's, that's definitely a difficult story because yeah, it's absolutely, it's so true. You know, you have to put the time and effort into building a business. It's not easy. And a lot of entrepreneurs are natural workaholics. But yeah, definitely, you know, trying to find that balance is definitely a good lesson to take out of it. So what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome in the early days when you were first starting out with Social Ivy Media?
In the beginning, I was not as, you know, I was always a techie person. You know, I grew up, I had that old, I'm an old guy, I'm 47, I say old, you know, but you're probably older than most of the people listening. So I grew up in the old, you know, I had a Commodore 64, computer. Like I was, you know, kind of a quote unquote nerd from the beginning. So I was always involved in some aspect of tech, but I wasn't, you know, really good or, knowledgeable how to actually make things happen. So the first real challenge was like, hey, I knew what to do, but you know, getting it implemented because now it wasn't just me relaying their information to some web guy, right? We had to go and figure out how to do it all.
Yes.
And so learning that technological challenge. And there's, you know, some people say, hey, don't try to learn this. You know, you can hire people to do that. And that's true, but you need to know, you need to be somewhat proficient or somewhat knowledgeable. Otherwise, you're going to end up getting taken advantage of. If you don't know what's supposed to happen, you don't know if the people you hired are even doing a good job. So
yes,
making that oversight, having some transparency. So we, you know, I did hire, you know, people that were competent in-house as we got going, but obviously that's further down the road. Most of the time when you're an entrepreneur, it's a solopreneurship. You're doing it all, right? And that's the other thing, organization, being very highly, like crazy organized. You have to be, because there's a lot of moving components, dates, times, calendars, schedules, meetings, deliverables, mm-hmm. So managing that data and getting a hand, and it really forces you as an entrepreneur to really like check yourself on another level. Mm-hmm. I work with a lot of agency owners that I coach and mentor and stuff like that. And that, you know, just using the foundations and the principles of just, you know, certain things that you need to do, you're instantly already a step above pretty much everybody else, you know, just being on time, being organized, doing what you say you're going to do. Those little small things, believe it or not, is better than 80% of the people on the other end that you're going to talk to, because most business owners, you know, they're in the same challenge, right? Like if you're a plumbing company, you know how to get, you know how to unclog the toilet, right? But you might not understand business marketing, or you might not understand. So they're trying to learn, you know, it's that other side of the coin, the learning curve. So,
right.
Yeah, a lot of challenges. I would say, you know, knowledgeable about getting, you know, investing in your understanding of the products and services that you offer, product knowledge, you know, upping your game, reading books, taking courses, invest in yourself, mentoring, be around other people in the space, learn from them.
Yeah.
And then organizing the data and, you know, your call, like every day you should wake up, you should know what you're doing. That you should, like, I know entrepreneurs, they're years in the game, they wake up and there's no plan. They're just like reactionary. So understanding you need to be proactive and have a strategy and a plan. Otherwise the waves of, you know, circumstance are going to push you where they want you to go, and you're never going to end up at your destination.
Absolutely.
There's I know we got half an hour. So.
Yeah. There's a ton of challenges along the way, you know, when you're first starting out. And, you know, oftentimes sales is a big component. It's a big challenge that a lot of entrepreneurs have to overcome. So, you know, what are your strategies for bringing in leads into your agency and then, you know, closing more sales?
Two great questions. So how do we bring them in and how do we close them, right?
Yes.
It's all about relationships. It really is. People buy from people that they know, they like, and they trust. And that's why, you know, if you listen to any person that knows their salt about social media, they tell you, you know, having a good strategy and a good personalized strategy gives them the ability to, and those KPI, you can apply that to everything that you do, every marketing piece, every, you know, your website needs to have those components, your presentation, everything. They want to know you, they want to like you, and they want to trust you. So how do you convey those three points to your target audience? And it's really about, you know, pulling back the curtain, letting them know who you are, what you're about. And what I found is it's hard to do that through static pieces like, you know, print and internet stuff. Now, videos are really good because they can convey a more personalized experience. Being in person is obviously one. And then really, you know, at the end of the day, nothing is going to help you get good at sales aside from this is the biggest one. Having the doing a high volume of conversations with potential prospects, just talking to people.
Yes,
you've got to get good at talking to people. So because it doesn't, you can have a, you know, some company come in and say, hey, I'm gonna throw 10,000 hot leads in your lap. Well, if you can't reach out to them and communicate with them, you're not going to convert them, right? Yeah. If you don't understand their challenges, you're not speaking their language, you're not actively listening. I say. You want to get good on the phone too. The best way is to be a good talker. You have to be an excellent listener, and you got to take excellent notes. Mm-hmm. Take notes. Listen. Oh, your dog's name is Fluffy. That goes in my notes. Why? It may be relevant later down the road. It might not be. I don't know. I may bring it up just to add a sense of personalism to the call. I don't know. But it's information. You got to collect it, and then you'll know what to do with it. You know. But listening to what they're saying, hearing what their challenges are. A sale isn't really a sale. It's about finding, you know, what problem do you solve? Your product, your service, if you're solving a problem. So understanding what's the problem that I solve and who has that problem and what are their common issues with people around that problem. And so understanding that and being able to communicate it's a transition of value. I provide something that you need or want, and here's why it makes sense. And so you got to speak to them emotionally and logically. There's a whole, sales is a big, long topic, but essentially the best way is to have a lot of conversations. You're going to get better and better at saying it, speaking it, understanding it, and delivering it to other people. So that's the biggest thing. Don't be afraid to pick the phone up either. Phone calls work amazing. If you're, you know, some people are adverse to that. They're like, oh no, I can't talk to any people. Well, if you get somebody that's interested, you're gonna have to talk to them, and you're only going to get good at that through volume. So It is. And there's a lot of people out there that will totally kill me for saying that. Oh, you still pick up the phone? We do millions of dollars a year. And then we got guys picking up the phone. That's how we do it. Yes.
That's so cool. So you still do cold calling. You know, maybe you'll do your research ahead of time. You know, it's a client that you'd love to work with. So you'll just cold call them. And what do you do from there? Like, walk me through what that looks like, you know, when you're doing a cold call, because it's definitely something that is very intimidating to a lot of entrepreneurs. And it's also, you get shut down quite often with cold calls. So what are some of your tips for success with cold calling?
That's a whole nother call in itself, but I'll tell you, it starts with, so to touch base on that, you mentioned, you know, like what we do a little differently now. Yeah, we're a little pickier and choosier who we go after and how we do that, right? But let's talk, yes. It seems like we're going to speak to people kind of more in the beginning phrase, right? So in the beginning phrase, I would tell you, really, you just need the volume. So I wouldn't invest a ton of time in doing a ton of research. You just got to get out there and start having the conversation. Really, that's the best. Like, don't get too hung up on who should I call or where should I call or what do I need to, how much do I need to look? No, have a conversation. Just, I mean, just, obviously, just if you volume. Offer a specific service. Yeah. So I'll tell you, we kind of do everything, right? So mm-hmm. for us, we can speak to everybody. So mm-hmm. we can help anybody with basically any solution. But if you're, you know, let's say you just do like social media or something, that's your niche. So you can spend some time going through social media looking for people that are not really active, right? Mm-hmm. Their posting schedule is not really that good. They're not consistent. Their messaging is really good. Any one of those, you can reach out. And then, you know, how you call them? I love the easiest way is to do a great phone call. The first thing you got to do is understand what's happening. You're calling a place of business. They're picking up the phone and you're just coming out of the blue.
Yes.
And they're many times on robot mode, right? They're using their reptilian limbic brain hello, thank you. And they're usually the person that answers the phone is kind of the router, right? They're trying to route the right person to the right person or push you away if they think you're a sales call, right? They're the filter. Keep the crap away and then the people that are relevant, get them to the right person. So
yep.
Just being personable, not sounding like a robot, right? Mm-hmm. And having fun with it. And just how do I separate myself by being authentic on the phone, right? Here's two versions. Hi, is this John? Can I speak to the person who handles the marketing over there? This is John from so-and-so agency. And I'd like to speak to the person who handles the agent, right? Like that is going to get shut down every time because you're very uncertain. Your tone of voice is going up and active at the end. There's like a lot of things that you're not doing right. You sound like every other sales call. So they don't even listen. You could be saying the best things, but the way you're saying it, they just shut you down instantly and they're going to push you away and you're never going to get through the gatekeeper. So getting through the gatekeeper, that's kind of there's a whole science to that. The best way is just be genuine and authentic. Hey, Sally's plumbing. How can I help you? Sally, what's up? How are you? Oh, I'm good. Who's this? Hey, my name's Deion DeLauder and I run a marketing company out here in Tampa. I'm looking to reach out and build some relationships with maybe one or two plumbers in the area, in this niche, that I could really, really add some value and deliver some amazing results like we're doing for some of our other clients. Who's the best person over there that would be able to have that kind of a conversation?
I love that. Yeah, night and day.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so just being, you know, more personable, more confident, and just being a human being at the end of the day and not focusing on being so salesy and what is my message? Just focusing on more of connecting on a human level.
Absolutely. And so think about this, right? When you're doing your, you know, social media marketing, that's really the big thing right now. That's why like platforms like TikTok and Reels are so big because they're kind of like intimate, goofy. They're not the polished professional, you know. So having that genuine authenticity behind what you're saying and how you're saying it is really mm-hmm. going to resonate and separate many of the other salespeople that are calling. And the way you build that confidence is you got to understand, number one, it's a volume game. It's a numbers game. You got to get that through your, so listen, you might call 60 people today, right? Mm-hmm. You might get through five gatekeepers and have three conversations of value. Out of those three conversations of value, you're probably going to convert one of them on that call 2 days later, a week later, at some point, right? They go into, they either convert now or they go into the CRM for some type of loving, nurturing campaign and you'll follow up with them, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately, that's, you know, if you're doing that every day, you know, you're going to get 3-4 sales a week just by pushing the ball and doing the numbers. So understanding yes. it's a numbers game. And if you're doing 4 or 5 sales a week in an agency, you know, the price points and the margins are always, you know, typically good. That's a lot of money. A lot of
absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely.
Right? It doesn't take a lot of energy and effort. You don't yep. have to convert it crazy high numbers. And you have to understand that it's a numbers game, right? So if I call 60 people and 55 of them tell me to go F myself or right, they're not interested, slam phone, like whatever. It doesn't matter. Some people have a problem with taking rejection. You gotta be a little resilient. You gotta know it's not personal. They're not thinking about, they don't, they're not talking to you. They just whatever, for whatever reason, you didn't get through, and that's totally okay. You just move on to the next one with the same high energy personalism as you do the other one, you know?
Yes.
Good delivery, good consistency every time. Know that it's a numbers game. Know that you're going to get shut down, but you don't need everybody to say yes. A small percentage says yes, plenty of money.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's great advice. You can't take it personal. You know, you've got their best interests at heart, you know, from the start. And if they don't want to proceed with your services, that's fine. You just got to, like you say, move on with the same high energy and just carry on. So,
and then it goes into after that, like putting those leads into a CRM, having a good follow-up process, maybe with some automated emails and some follow-up
calls.
You know, there's other ways to like really maximize that. But just at the beginning, just having the conversations is the biggest thing that you can do. Have as many of those as you can.
What is there one objection that you has been, you know, more common than any of the other ones? And how do you overcome that objection?
I wouldn't say there's any one. There's probably a few handful, right? It's either about price or clarity is really what it boils down to. All objections come down to that, right? And okay. That's really the key. Understanding, like, you hear them saying something, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, right? Guys like, oh, you're talking to somebody and the gentleman or the lady is like, you know, that sounds good, but, you know, let me think about it. And can you call me back next week? Or I need to talk to this guy, or I need to run this past so-and-so. Or most of the times when they're saying that, it's not really what the case. What the case is that you haven't really done a well enough job of explaining the value that you deliver or even what you do, right?
Got it.
So they're putting you off because you haven't given them enough to move forward. You haven't. And again, we've talked about the three KPI, know, like, and trust. You haven't done a good enough job of getting those check marks. And like, they want to know, how full of crap are you, right? They want to get to like know a little bit about you or like the value that you provide. And you've got to build some trust. And you do that by not being pushy. And like, if you want to call, hey, John, listen, we could talk today, tomorrow, next week. I don't care. I'm going to be here. We're going to be reaching out, adding value. I'm here when you're ready. Like, no rush. The way we view it in our minds is, listen, we know the impact we're going to have to your business. So it's almost like in our mind, we're walking around a village of starving people with a bag full of steaks. Like, we don't need you. We're going to add value. And let me tell you about these steaks. And if you're not, and if you don't, you're starving, hey, no problem. No worries. We're not going to chase you. Right. I'm not going to chase a starving person with steaks. I'm just going to start waving the steaks around the people that are starving.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Great points. Yeah. That's really great advice. I love it. And then, so, you know, what would you say, you know, you've come a long way, you know, you've grown a really successful agency. What has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome along the way?
Scaling, and allow me to come back to that. I'm going to touch base on the second part of the question that you just asked the other time. I said the other reason they don't convert is usually pricing. Pricing is usually resolved in terms, right? A lot of times it's not how much it is, it's the terms. We sell, you know, $10,000 websites. Sometimes we'll put them on a 2-3-4 month pay. Give them 4 months, 25%, 25%. You got to structuring the deal and putting it in terms that, you know, they might, hey, I can't do 10 grand, but you can do 2,500 each month for the next 4 months, right? Structuring that. So helping them, giving them options, right?
That's a great, I love that. That's a great tip.
So that's how you overcome the other issue, pricing. You don't necessarily have to lower your price. I don't go and say, hey, you can't afford $10,000. How about $8,000? I don't lower my price. I go into options, structuring the deal so I can get, you know, make it work in line with their cash flow. So apologize. I just wanted to add that to that second question. This one you said, what was the biggest challenge overall?
Yeah.
Scaling. You know, you'll get to a certain point, if you're especially if you're a solopreneur, where you've only got so much bandwidth. There's only so many hours a day. You can only do so much.
Yes.
And then scaling beyond that, people get to, they'll push themselves and work themselves to death, as I know, you know, personally and intimately. And then they get to a place where they're you know, on the verge of being burnt out because they're doing every single thing they can and they just can't seem to reach that next level, right? How they break
right.
that plateau.
Yep.
Scaling is very challenging. And what the easiest way to scale is to the first way you scale before you think about hiring, everybody's first thought, like, just hire. Well, yes and no. There is a good time to hire, but you've got to squeeze all the juice out of what you're doing already. And the first way to do that is like go through your systems and your processes. And I've touched on that a little bit in some of our other questions. You've got to automate. as much as you can. Right.
Great
so if you're a solopreneur and you're doing cold outreach, once I touch somebody that seems like they're warm and they didn't move through, I don't have the time or energy or effort to be able to go back and touch them 100 times, right? Like they need to be sometimes.
Yeah.
So having some type of automated email sequence, and maybe here's a link to a new video, here's somebody that we just helped, you know, rub your victories in their face, and here's a testimonial, and here's a good tip for you, and just that, just touching them and loving them and doing that in an automated fashion. You know, using technology, leveraging technology, which is a huge mm-hmm. thing to do. You need to be you need to be hitting social media, so you need to be scheduling and automating that. You need to be managing this. You need to schedule and automate that. If data's coming in from here, how do you refining your processes? Every single one of them, getting better at your organization with the data.
Yep.
And then your systems and processes, and really like mapping that stuff out. Because if you hire somebody and you have it mapped out, like, okay, so as a solopreneur, I'm wearing these 7 hats. So I need to take the ones that are not, you got to look at them like, hey, here's the things that I'm really, really good at. And I don't want to try to hire somebody else to do these because this is my real core competency. But these other, 5 things over here, I can hire somebody to get this stuff off my plate, right? And then so you look at those and you go, okay, well, if I were to hire somebody and bring them in, how am I going to onboard them and go through that, experience, so they understand exactly what that is, so that you need to have some type of like, here's our standard operating procedure for this. Here's our SOP for that. Here's our method to do this. When this comes in, here's what we do, step 1, step 2. So getting all that stuff together, so that way when you do invest in hiring somebody, because they are an investment, they'll be able to quickly get acclimated and implement without any doubt what's going on. And if you haven't laid out that process, hiring somebody is only going to waste a lot of time and money for you. It's going to be a painful lesson.
Yes, I agree. Because the last thing you want is to end up being a bottleneck in the company, where when you're hiring someone and then they're relying on you to, when they could just be referring to an SOP. So I love that you've really laid out the importance of putting together those processes, those systems, and then, hiring as well.
Yeah, we're in a tech company, so we use Loom. Loom just is a screen recorder. There's tons of them out there, screencast. You can use whatever you want,
Yep.
But we just shoot Loom videos back. Hey, check this out, blah, 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 blah. And it's really efficient for us. So that way, and that eliminates a lot of meetings too. I don't have to wait for where are you at? What time schedule? When are you available? Here's my information, shoot it over. They can watch it, get everything they need, shoot me one back. And we just boom, boom, boom. Being efficient, efficiency.
Yes.
Right? Creating systems, creating processes. And that's, you got to do that in the beginning anyway, because that's the only way you're going to be able to deliver consistent results, right? You need to be consistent. We've got a template, creating templates. We have a template for everything. Anything happens, here's our template. We use Trello. I'll just throw some gems out there. Trello is great for, everybody uses their own thing. We use Trello. It's really good for project management, organization of data, accountability, tons of stuff.
That's great.
We've got it tied in with our CRM, so that if something happens in the CRM, it creates a new board and tags the right person. It's just automation. That's how you scale. You're leveraging technology, right? And templates and SOPs and getting that good. And then from there, when you got that really dialed in and really lean, and you like, there's a real system, adding people to it is a no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first I have the fast 5, which are 5 rapid fire questions for you.
Okay.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh, I am a habitual reader and consumer of information. Name one that's had an impact on me. Tony Dungy's Quiet Strength.
Great.
Tony Dungy was a football coach of the Bucks, but he's a great person, believe it or not. And he's got some really good books out there. That was a really good book. It's like internal reflection and accountability. So it was a really good book for me.
Interesting. Sounds like a great read. And what does your morning routine look like?
Oh, this is another one I'm going to catch a lot of heat for. Everybody's got their little thing that they do. Some people tell you to wake up at 4 in the morning, take a cold shower, and have your meditations and affirmations and all that stuff.
Yeah.
For me, I just I've been doing this now. Disclaimer, right? I've been doing this so long, I've already programmed myself to just, like, I'm a robot at this point. I just wake up and do the things that need to happen, and I don't need a lot of the fanfare to force myself to do these things, right? Other people, if you're early in the game and you haven't developed over time good habits and consistency, you got to kind of wake up and shake yourself. And I'll tell you, what I tell the agencies and the business owners I work with, it's like literally my mentality is like I'm waking up to go to war. Like I'm so driven and goal oriented about the things that I want to do and where I want to be at. It's a warlike militant mentality where I am just like, I'm get up and gung ho. And I've never been in the military, by the way. So, but it's just my mind state is very militant around achieving my goals. So for me, my morning is I wake up probably about 6:30. I start the coffee. I go do my health routine, while the coffee is brewing. I grab my coffee. I'll go sit on the back porch. I'll usually open. I don't get on Insta, none of the social medias. Don't clutter your head. It's very important in the morning to not clutter your head with unnecessary crap, right? So the only thing I like to do is I like to look at my calendar because it tells me what my day looks like because I just live my life on my calendar. That's part of my automation and systems. Like I've got a whole scheduling thing where I bought a domain name that points to my calendar link that like, if you want to speak to me, that's how it goes. And I just show up and I just wake up and look at that thing. Whatever the calendar says, that's what I'm doing.
Nice.
I look at my calendar, I like to know what my day looks like. I don't dig deep in any emails, but I do give them a scan looking for any fires or emergencies. We're looking for different things. What's the merchant readout for the daily transactions for the day? What's the, any trouble tickets that are still active? Just the fire stuff, right? Everything else can wait till later.
Yep.
Then I just, literally have a little time where, 15, 20 minutes while I'm drinking my coffee, I'll put the phone down, allow myself to wake up, breathe. Maybe go for a walk, maybe a little stretching, nothing crazy, just to get the body moving, wake myself up, and then, I'm usually right at it. I go through the emails a little more thoroughly. I start getting, looking through the projects so I can be productive during the 9:30 project management meeting. I get all the hard stuff done in the morning, push all the ball, any emails, any communications, they go out in the morning, reply to all that stuff, project management, anything that we're working on with the team. That all happens in the morning. That way all the, everything can, people are out moving things and pushing the ball and making things happen. And then I usually take a little snack break and then we go into, you said the morning, so I won't go further, but then I've got the rest of the, I take a little break, eat a snack and then go into, working on the business a little bit instead of working so much in the business. And then we switch back gears in the afternoon and go back working in the business till, whenever we're done with that.
Yeah, very good. I love that you, as you say, you've had that mentality of you're going to war. So I love that sense of urgency. And I think, whenever you're able to implement that as part of your daily routine and you always have that sense of urgency, that really compounds and that makes a huge difference over time.
Absolutely. Well, nothing comes easy. You got to work for everything, right? Even people that started the agency, many of them were sold the dream. They're like, hey, sit by the beach and make money. Yeah, absolutely. That's we do that all the time, but there's a lot of work, energy, and effort. You got to build the machine, right? And putting those systems, those processes together, and I want to throw this little nugget and gem out there for, when it talks about generating revenue and cold calling, that's a little, difficult for some people. I'll tell you, once you get good at it and you've got a good system and a process, and you're ready to scale, a great way to scale is reaching out to affiliate relationships and partners. Affiliate relationships and partners are one of the fastest path to scaling because these, you're coming in already highly. If you're referred by somebody that they know, like, and trust, you're instantly, you get that bar of credibility. So many of those KPIs are already checked off. And if it's a good product on client match, and it's the win-win for everybody, then, it's very easy to convert. So somebody, they've got a business for 8-10 years, they've grown a list of clients that your product could potentially come in and be a good complement to that product. It's a great way to quickly pick up, a lot of new relationships and opportunities.
Very good. It's great advice. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No. Some people, they follow Musk and Jobs and when he was around, and everybody has their own person that they're influenced by. But everybody's path is different. Everybody's mission is different. Everybody's goal and their vision is different. So Absolutely. To try to emulate anybody would be a mistake, because they have their own path, their own journey, things that they value that you might not value, or vice versa. So,
yep.
Not really. I try. I understand my, and that's the thing, right? I know that's what gives me the ability to wake up. You know, I understand with absolute clarity what's my path, where is my future, where am I trying to go, and so yeah. Nobody else's journey and their path is going to take them to my destination. So I wake up and just try to implement my destination, but I try to learn from everybody that I'm around, right? I watch things and I try to learn from other CEOs, and you know, I've invested tons of money, six figures plus into like mentorship and you know, masterminds and events, and it's all, I've done it all, taken all the courses, read all the books, all that stuff, right? But right. Really the best value comes from just doing it, doing the do. That's what we say. You're only going to get better at it by implementing it and learning.
Yes. Yes. And what is your favorite online tool?
You okay if I plug my own? Because I'm biased. We've got our own.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. So we've got a software that we built that essentially consolidates pretty much all of the fundamental technologies that any business needs to really grow, scale, and automate the online presence. And so we built, I think, the best tool out there. It's called the Automated Business Portal. And because it, you know, it's the only tool where you can go in and literally handle all six pillars of a good, successful business online and get it all knocked out. But aside from that one, man, that, like, I know that. So that's my bias plug. I got to throw that one out there. Aside from my own software, I don't know. There's so many cool things happening. There's so many new technologies that are coming up. You know, I'd probably say, really, I guess Trello. Trello is, you know, where I spend most of my time and, you know, the organizing of data and even just like mind mapping and really just, you know, being good at collecting and organizing the data as an agency is everything. You know, I used to use yes. Evernote. I used to be OneNote. I used, you know, there's a lot of tons of similar products. And I used them all. And it was hard for me to transition over to this one. But once I started using it, it's probably for me the best tool that I use more than anything.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. Trello is such a powerful tool. It's amazing. We use it as well at Review Robin. And yeah, that's awesome. And what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
What would I have known? that's a tough question. What would I wish I would have known? I wish I would have known much earlier on that it's about the journey and not so much, you know, you heard me talk a lot about the destination. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what I focus on, and that's what, you know, keeps me up at night, wakes me up in the morning, and all that stuff. But you have to really learn to appreciate the journey, because it's, you know, mm-hmm. starting an agency takes some work, takes some time. Your biggest thing, your biggest asset as an agency owner, time in the game. The longer you're in the game, the easier it's going to get for you. And so, you know, understanding just those basic principles, you know, I think is really what I wish I would have known earlier, that it's about the journey. You know, you gotta value the, you know, you're at a meeting or you're cold calling every, you know, for 5 days straight, and you're whatever, if that's where you're at in the business, or you're staying up late to do this fulfillment, you gotta find the joy in it. And you gotta be able to appreciate that. You know, it could always be worse. You could always be outside, you know, 100-degree weather, killing your, you know, back in the hot sun, and, you know, no control of your time, no control of your future. There's a lot of other worse places. So you just got to learn to enjoy the ride and be patient. Patience, you know, it's consistency. Yeah. There's no magic pill. There's no get rich quick button. There's no, it just takes consistency, energy, effort, and, you know, determination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wake up every day and go to war.
Yep. Yeah. And I love how you mentioned, you know, just finding those things that you're grateful for along the way as well. And, there's going to be tons of challenges along the way, but find those things you're grateful for and just, you know, have that persistence, have that patience, but also that sense of urgency. And yeah, I think you just got to keep going. You'll get there.
Enjoy the journey, build the relationships. Don't worry about the mistakes or the accidents, learn from them, build from them, and have, you know, you heard a small taste of it. Like when I was doing the cold call example, right? It's a lot more personable. Anytime, I've just learned to be yourself. That's another great thing that I wish learned earlier. I always used to try to be I dealt with a lot of corporate people, so I many times emulated them because I felt like I wanted to fit in. But later on, mm-hmm. I learned that just being myself is like I get to pull them out of their stuffy personas and bring their real personalities into it when I do it myself. So it's like I'm giving them permission to be themselves by being myself. So don't feel like you've got to be too polished and stuffy. Just be yourself and have fun. You'll have a ton of fun. It'll be a better experience and you'll actually do better as well.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dion. It was a real pleasure to learn about your story and I really enjoyed speaking with you. So thank you so much.
Absolutely, Julia. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And hopefully I dropped some good value out there.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.